This is an Enterprise Times podcast. I'm Steve Brooks. I'm here with Craig Sullivan, Group Vice President, Product Management at NetSuite. Afternoon, Craig.
Good afternoon.
It's a very well-used term at the moment, Brexit. How are NetSuite preparing for the unknown?
It's a really good question. You know, being here in Europe all this week, it's obviously been in the news pretty much every day when I've turned the television on with all of the no-deal, some-deal, no-deal, some-deal rhetoric that we're seeing. In general, when we think about Brexit and we think about other changes that exist around the world, frankly, in terms of the change that this brings, we feel, as we've long felt, that change is great for a cloud vendor, a cloud ERP vendor, and it's been great for NetSuite over the years, primarily by virtue of the fact that because we've built a system that is in the cloud, that can be updated when it needs to be in order to meet the whims of local government or the needs of global change, we've made sure that the system is configurable, that we can make updates when we need to, that our customers can make updates when we need to. And so for us and our customers, Brexit is just another change that the NetSuite infrastructure, the NetSuite application architecture really enjoys in many ways and really provides some great tools for our customers to make the inevitable changes that they would need to make for their business. If you think about what Brexit means in the context of moving away from being part of the European Union, what it really means fundamentally is that the European Union and the countries within the European Union become countries that you may trade with in any other part of the world. When you think about it from that perspective, just modifying the way that the tax calculations occur, the forms that you're going to be submitting either in paper or digitally to the local governments, dealing with any new tariffs that may be added based upon our leaving of the common market, all of that can be handled when it needs to be handled by changes that we can make. When the compliance rules start getting published, we'll build those into our roadmap, and we've got a great pedigree and I think a great history of dealing with that. If you think about the global financial crisis a few years ago now, almost a decade ago now, countries around the world were rapidly making changes to tax rates and VAT rates and very rapidly trying to respond to what these things meant, and we were able to enable our customers all around the world to respond to that, making tax changes to tax reporting while our customers slept so that when they woke up, it was ready to deal with the new rates. In many ways, that's entirely consistent with what we would expect to see when Brexit is implemented. In addition to that, the other aspect that NetSuite OneWorld is very good at is allowing you to update your legal entity structure where you need to. If any of the changes that Brexit brings means that you need to change where you're registered as an entity, if you need to open new businesses, if you need to wind down an existing legal entity and make changes based upon your corporate structure, again, that's something that the NetSuite OneWorld architecture provides a lot of flexibility and a lot of capability for you to be agile and respond to those needs as and when they occur.
From a customer point of view, and you've mentioned the change of legal entities, which is an interesting one, I think that could have an impact. What are the kind of things they might need to expect that you can then deliver? And are there any things that you think might need more fundamental changes rather than just a change in tax code or the copy of a tax regime solution from Estonia that now applies effectively into Europe?
The impact of leaving the EU from an individual business perspective is really still where the uncertainty lies. Being able to be thoughtful about what your legal entity structure should be post-Brexit is probably one of the top things that you should be thinking about as a business that's operating across the region and making sure that you've thought into what that means from outside of any business management system itself, that you actually understand what you will do and what you want to do. And then ensuring that your business systems actually allow you to do that when you need to do that and aren't going to require onerous or extensive customization or modification to the core system or to your implementation of that system.
Do you think customers need to be worried about in terms of the level of profitability they may see in certain regions or just be aware of it? And is there any need to prepare for maybe changes in customs duty or tax that they might find incurred?
They certainly need to be considering both the cost base of their operations. They've taken advantage of lower cost markets within the region or beyond, being aware that post-leave that those advantages may disappear or may reduce. Also being conscious of the fact that it may be more expensive to sell into certain markets than it was before and to manufacture in certain locations than it was before, if only as a result of the extra burden of trade duties as well as administration of managing the processes that exist in those particular locations as well. There's so much uncertainty about what this really means. The key is being open to and being ready to implement whatever changes come as things become more certain over the course of the coming months.
If you're not reading about Brexit, you're certainly reading about making tax digital. Having said that, a lot of the focus seems to be, probably rightly because it's about to become law, is around small businesses on making tax digital with the VAT changes this year. Do you think more needs to be done on the education piece for mid-sized businesses as well?
In any situation where a tax regime is evolving, that we've seen in many markets around the world is that businesses are so focused on running their business that they're not necessarily aware or paying attention to the implications of these kinds of changes to the way they do business or to the operational systems that they use to run that business. It really behooves the government to make sure that they're reaching out to the small business owners as well as the medium-sized business organizational leaders to help them understand what the implications of this are. And frankly, the rationale for why they're making these kinds of changes in the first instance. You get these government-led decisions that bring an awful lot of burden to the organizations by virtue of the fact that in many cases the systems are not ready to support that transition, and that introduces additional cost up front as well as potentially additional administration that they're just not ready for. Being aware of that and actually taking responsibility for communicating that, I think, is an important step that perhaps isn't being taken as readily as we would like.
Certainly one of the arguments I believe the government uses, it makes you a better run business because you are actually filing regularly rather than having a last minute panic using spreadsheets to prepare for it.
I think that's entirely fair, actually. And certainly when we speak with our customers, the advantages of being fully digital and building tax into the entirety of the business process so that at the very beginning of a sales cycle you can understand what the responsibility is going to be, what the burden is going to be on your customer or on yourselves in terms of both the calculation and the recording and the payment of any tax is important, and it helps you make decisions around, is this a viable sale for me? Is this the right pricing model? Do we need to consider the implications on the customer as a result of the change to the tax regime?
Earlier this year, you introduced Suite Tax as a completely new tax engine to take tax out of the financial element to enable you to do that localization more effectively. Was MTD part of that in terms of actually enabling you to do MTD from within the tax engine? Is that how you're looking at working it?
MTD, making tax digital, was actually something that we had been across for many years. I remember a while back when we were first implementing VAT here for the UK market, we were aware of the work that the HMRC was doing to support digital tax filing as an optional capability. And we actually built that into the NetSuite offering relatively early. And it's very interesting to sort of see at the time actually relatively low adoption of that offering from our existing customer base at that time, and over the course of the years, it's picked up and we've seen more and more customers recognize it actually as a means to improve the business process. We began the Suite Tax journey based upon what we'd seen around the world in many countries where the adoption of digital tax had been perhaps way ahead of what's happened here in the UK. We look at markets like Brazil, where they've long had a very sophisticated e-government infrastructure that every business actually has mandatorily had to adopt for many years. And we've seen that where it's required.
So where are NetSuite now on MTD in terms of getting ready for next year?
We're right on track. The capabilities that we've long had in there are being incorporated into the next generation of our tax engine, which is Suite Tax. And that has been designed really to embed that level of calculation and reporting and preparation for e-government pretty much in all of the markets around the world. It's a very, very flexible and capable back end that allows you to have multiple tax engines deployed based upon the countries that you need. Obviously a unified VAT engine for Europe, tax engine specific for Brazil, tax engine specific for India, where they've just been going through a big evolution from their traditional sales tax model to the GST-based model for that market. We've been aware of this transition towards MTD. We've been enabling it from the very beginning as we've gone around the world, and Suite Tax brings that all together and unifies that experience. So that no matter where you're trading, who you're trading with, the correct tax is calculated, the correct reports are generated, and the connectivity then is available to the local government, either directly ourselves or in some cases through local partners that approved a connection with the local governments.
MTD is obviously the UK's e-government initiative, but there are other e-government initiatives around the world. As you mentioned some already, in Australia, single touch payrolls just come out, Saudi Arabia Vision 2030, which is more of a strategy. What's the latest in terms of e-government initiatives and where do you see it going?
It's a great question. We look at e-government, they would say that the E terms for electronic. For us, when we see these implementations, it's more about efficient government, making sure that they have the systems actually to keep track with the sophistication that the businesses have been able to enjoy. And as a result, be able to have much tighter insight and control of what's happening within their economies and have the ability to ensure that the outputs equal the inputs and the appropriate transactional activity between the various entities reporting in their jurisdictions are actually tied together. Where you see these initiatives taking place, they're either being implemented from scratch, like in a market such as Saudi Arabia, where they've looked around the world, seen what's worked, and been able to have the opportunity of standing on the shoulder of giants, being able to learn the lessons that have been learned by the other countries, and actually implementing a pretty well streamlined approach for their respective markets. And then you're also seeing governments that have been an e-government for a long time, looking to make sure that they're evolving their standards and keeping pace with what's going on around the world as well.
Estonia are probably the flagship for e-government in terms of they've moved a huge amount into electronic government, including their voting systems and various other things. What are you seeing across the rest of Europe outside the UK?
I don't know. I think the motion is accelerating towards digitalization of government processes and the submission of reports to the authorities. Some governments are behind others, some are more progressive than others in terms of adopting that. But I think ultimately the way that you will interact with your government is digitally for everything that you're currently doing through paper-based process. We've seen voting move to a digital environment very rapidly in a number of countries. We've seen, to your point, payroll tax reporting move to a digital model. We're seeing VAT and sales tax move to a digital model. Other things related to eco-reporting and making sure that businesses follow ethical standards. You'll see more of that move into the digital domain as well, so that it becomes more efficient and more effective for the governments to be doing the right things in support of their policies to help their citizens succeed in the global economy.
That's interesting to hear what you say about eco-recording, because that's not necessarily a tax submission. That's a CSR submission. I'd be interested in knowing more about that, which countries are doing that. We've got carbon footprint in the UK, and companies need to commit if they're above a certain size, I think it is. Where does that engine fit in within NetSuite? Is that going to become a differentiator for the view?
We think it certainly can, and we're seeing it in markets like France and Germany, where we've been spending a lot of time thinking about what it means to deliver a solution for companies operating in those markets, as well as companies that are HQ'd in those countries as well. Sort of the corporate responsibility angle, where previously it was something that was a marketing activity in many ways. If you're an ethical business, if you're an eco business, then that was something you could put on your product. Many countries have recognized actually that it's more than just a branding opportunity for companies based in their countries. It's actually a responsibility that they have, and they can help their citizens and the companies operating in their countries actually meet these standards by requesting and then subsequently perhaps mandating reporting on these areas. What's interesting about the way that NetSuite approaches the running of a business and we think about the entirety of a business is that we actually have an opportunity to think about the reporting of ethical statistics in a much broader sense than perhaps you would do if you were just running a standard. So you can look across your entire supply chain, you can look across your entire customer base, you can understand what's the distance between the point of manufacture to the point of consumption by your customer, and use that kind of information, because we have a system that spans the entirety of that supply chain, to make decisions that perhaps mean that you're manufacturing closer to where your customers are buying your product and consuming your product. That's a huge win from a carbon footprint perspective, and as well as, frankly, from a cost of distribution perspective as well. And so by thinking about it in terms of the potential that exists when you have all this information about the business, that you can meet ethical and ecological expectations of your customers and ultimately local government as well, you can actually end up with a more efficient, more effective business that's making smarter decisions, perhaps with motivations that weren't necessarily there in the first instance when you first set up the structure for your business.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but you're going general availability for your new analytics suite, which you announced last year in the spring. Is that the kind of use case you see for it? Will we be CSR reporting through data analytics?
What's interesting about Suite Analytics is, in many ways, it surfaces that rich set of business, full business data, through a single experience in a way that is very difficult in most other systems, frankly, and allows you to pull together in a single view data that would be hard to correlate if it was being sourced from other systems. So you can understand through Suite Analytics and the relational database that we have within NetSuite, those relationships between where your customer is, where your supply to that customer is coming from, and really understand how to make that more efficient by virtue of having that single view of the data. The great thing about it is that it's extremely powerful, but also extremely easy to use. It's a drag and drop user interface. You don't need to understand the database architecture under the covers. You need to know that your customers are buying from you and you're buying from your suppliers, and you can build that view, that tunnel through the entirety of the supply chain in order to get answers to some questions that would be very difficult to answer otherwise.
I look forward to seeing that report during the keynote next year.
I'll make a note of that. We'll have the team start working on that right away.
Coming back a bit in terms of the e-government, what are we seeing in the US? Because the US I always see as a continent of 51 different countries with different tax regimes across all of them and different regulations across all of them in a number of different verticals. How is that evolving at the moment? And are there any leaders within e-government within the US, not at the federal level, but actually at the state level?
What we've seen over the course of the last 20 years of the NetSuite journey is almost a pull into the digital domain at the state level, if not at the federal level. Part of that has been by virtue of the fact that it was and has been a very inefficient environment from a reporting perspective. You now see today sales tax reports being submitted online. The adoption of that has accelerated rapidly over the course of the past few years, and that is something that NetSuite and our partners have worked very hard to enable for our customers as well. What you're seeing, though, is, to your point, that these are separate entities. The state of Texas does things differently to the state of California, and if you're operating a business in both of those states, then you have to comply with the regulations in each of those states independently. And further now, based upon the recent changes actually that they implemented to the tax laws, if you're trading across states, there's now additional responsibilities in terms of charging tax in the state of destination and not just the state of origin. That has driven a lot of change in the calculation and also the reporting of taxes across those various states.
Does that also impact people outside the US trading into the US?
I'll have to get back to you on that. I'm not sure exactly the answer, because I know that's true here in Europe now with the provision of digital products, actually, that if you're trading from the US and selling particular products into the EU, you have to basically report that and charge the appropriate taxes on that. I'm not sure if that's also true the other way around. What you often see is that the import of a physical product, basically that tax is actually goes straight to the consumer, with the consumer paying tariff based upon the value of the item as it goes through customs.
One of the other hot topics over the last few months has obviously been GDPR. Our view is we're kind of in this quiet period waiting for someone to be shot or someone to have a breach and be fined and see what the levels of fine are. Going back a bit though, what did NetSuite do within the product to enable their customers to help them be prepared for GDPR?
Enables the key phrase, of course, because sort of the individual business's responsibility to understand how their processes, how their systems, and how their people all impact and contribute to the GDPR compliance. We undertook an extensive audit of the way NetSuite worked, how we stored the data, what data we were storing. Also undertook a pretty comprehensive communication exercise with our customer base, making sure that certainly at least through us, they were receiving some information and some guidance and some context about what they may be doing in our application and what they would need to be thinking about in terms of the responsibilities they were going to have post-May, whatever the date was in May, that the new standards came in place. We actually were in really good shape, as it turns out, in terms of responsibilities of our application in enabling a business to meet those new standards. The biggest change that we had to make sure we educated our customers on was the proactive communication to their customers and their suppliers and anybody else whose data they were storing in their NetSuite system, and making sure that they were able to proactively send that communication, that they could have the cookie setting pop-up appear on their website if they were running a commerce site on the NetSuite infrastructure. From our perspective, things have gone well in our customer base from that. I know I certainly was seeing the cookie pop-up. I was seeing the communication from those NetSuite customers as well as other businesses that I personally signed up with, the endless email streams of people notifying us that things were changing, and that was all working really well. But to your point, I think we're waiting to see now at the macro level what this means and how the individual governments are going to be interpreting the legislation and actually implementing audits of how businesses are complying with the legislation.
Has the thinking evolved in terms of what people need to do since May from your point of view?
I don't think so. The reality is that if you've not started thinking about this already, you really should be thinking about making sure that your business processes meet the expectations of GDPR. We think a lot about GDPR in the context of our evolving data center infrastructure and where we're thinking about making those investments to ensure that where you need to keep data, we will have facilities in place so that you can keep data locally and within the appropriate locations as required. And that's been part of our thinking all along as it relates to our data center strategy, and particularly now with the Oracle Cloud Infrastructure approach that we're taking, where all of our new data center footprint will be on that next generation architecture. And we see that as a net positive in terms of helping businesses achieve the compliance responsibilities they have.
GDPR relates to Europe, obviously, in the main, although obviously if you're an American customer, you've got customers in Europe, you've got employees in Europe, it still applies. Are you seeing any regulations equivalent to GDPR outside? I believe there's some in Australia and potentially some coming in California as well.
This is definitely an evolving area, and we're paying attention. Our customers and businesses in general need to be paying attention as to what's going on. Certainly there are markets like China where they're very strong and have made very definitive statements about what they expect over time with respect to data residency, data sovereignty for their citizens. Similarly, Brazil had made some very grandiose statements a few years ago about what they would expect. The challenge that we all face here is that there has been what could be perceived as some pretty rapid thinking and pretty rapid evolution of these standards that possibly need some more global collaboration between the governing bodies to really implement standards that are consistent and actually support the reality of global business as it exists today.
Is that wishful thinking?
Of course it's wishful thinking. But we've seen this for many years where standards legislation are implemented at a point in time based upon what's happened up until perhaps several years before that point in time, and then they take a long time to evolve as technology evolves. It's a very admirable and honorable thing to be wanting to protect your citizens' personal data, but when your citizen is actually choosing to make a purchase from a business who is based in another part of the world, it's very difficult for them to actually understand in which situations they're actually handing over their personal data to an entity in a country who's not taking personal data as seriously as their home country. That disparity is often missed, certainly by individuals, and not necessarily well considered, we could say, in individual countries or in individual regions' implementation of those standards. It's an evolving space that we all need to be paying attention to and in many ways contributing to the thinking around.
Thank you very much, Craig. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Good to see you as always.